Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show with guest host Brian Weber on CBS Sports Radio.
It's the final hour of the program, coming to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Thanks for sharing part of your Friday with us, getting you fully lined up for another tremendous sports weekend. In 40 minutes, we're talking college football and NFL as we start the countdown to kickoff for the game of the year in college football. CBS primetime tomorrow night, number one Alabama on the road at number LSU. The preview will be provided by Eric Adelson from Yahoo Sports. In 20 minutes, we're going to get you set for the game of the day on Sunday in the NFL. Should be a wild offensive showcase when the Rams and Saints match up. We'll check in with my good friend, former colleague at NFL Network, Steve White. He's going to cover the game inside the Superdome on Sunday. Meaning, if you want to call, and we've had some good calls today, you got to get in now. I'll take your phone calls potentially in about 10 minutes. 1-800-636-8686, since we're going back-to-back with the guests. If you can't hop aboard in the next few minutes, I might be able to get to a call or two before we wrap up top of the hour. 1-800-636-8686. You can email the program, RomeAndHaveATake.com. Jim's back on Monday. Hit me up on Twitter during or after the program. It's BW Weber, and we've established that that first W is not for my middle name, as I thought it was when I came up with the Twitter handle. It's not William. It's certainly not Winner. It's something else. I got to hit up Brad in Corona on Twitter to find out what that W stands for, because if you weren't with us in the last hour of the show, Brad, the best caller, arguably in the history of the jungle, absolutely murdered me. Somebody called 911. You got a dead man sitting in this chair. Brad pointing out that I've been less than selective in the assignments in this glorious career I've cobbled together, and just assassinated your humble fill-in host. Let's get back to the NFL. So believe it or not, there is some show prep involved. Jim, of course, always embraces the grind, so I can't mail it in if I want to come back as the fill-in substitute pimp in the box. As I was thinking about what I would devote most of the show to, in addition to college football, because CBS has got you covered tomorrow. SEC East title on the line when Georgia goes to Kentucky, 3:30 Eastern time, and then you know what's happening, 8 Eastern, Alabama and LSU. But typically on a Friday, at least we talk a little bit about Thursday night football. Still, yesterday afternoon, as I was mapping out the show, I figured, come on, what could I possibly have to discuss in the wake of the 49ers taking on the Raiders? And because I did local TV in Northern California, I can tell you there's no rivalry there. Raiders left, they went to L.A. The Niners have owned that marketplace, in part because they were a monopoly for a while. Secondly, they had a dynasty. So I understand what Fox and my former employers still have good friends at NFL Network were trying to do. Geographically, yes, there's a rivalry between San Francisco and Oakland in the Bay Area. It's not that intense. So I figured we're not talking about that. Then I got the news. C.J. Beathard was unable to play, so we're looking at Nick Mullins, who I knew vaguely. It's my job, after all. Coming out of college because he put up big numbers at Southern Miss, better than Brett Favre, but he was an undrafted player for a reason. Spent last year on the practice squad, making his starting debut on a short week against a Raider team that's in total disarray. But you figure at least they'll win this game. They have some serviceable players. More to the point, they have some pride. Well, I guess they have neither, because they got destroyed by Nick Mullins, who looked like Y.A. Tittle or Steve Young. Now, credit Mullins. He balled out. Stat line was highly impressive. 3 touchdowns. No picks. He was not sacked. George Kittle made that grab that arguably is the best reception of the year. But as much as we want to say great job to Nick, and if you saw the post-game interview with Aaron Andrews, he got emotional and got crushed on Twitter because you can't have feelings in 2018. This was all about an utter debacle from the Oakland Raiders, and that starts with a man who's making $100 million, if you believe that's the compensation, because there are some football insiders who think that's a lot of spin. Now, Gruden may, in fact, have the 10-year contract. We'll find out if he gets fired year 4, 5, and 6, how much money he's due on the back end. But whatever he's getting, he's stealing money. And remember, in July, and John may not realize, he should know this because he worked in television for so long, the tape machines were always rolling, Coach. When you have a press conference, those dudes who better be sitting up, according to Matt Patricia, scribbling notes, are writing down what you say, and reporters are recording your comments. Gruden said this summer that if he doesn't win, he's not taking the money from Mark Davis. I want to see direct deposit statements to validate there's been no transaction, because if that's the case, Gruden should be writing a check to Davis right now. This team looks like they've given up. And that is the grandest indictment in professional sports you can lay out. At least try. We know the Raiders have systemic problems, mostly created by John Gruden himself. And if you buy into conspiracy notions and they float around the internet, there is a school of thought that some Raider players mailed it in for whatever reason last night. Operation shutdown. For one of many reasons. Guys on defense might be still miffed that they're not playing with Khalil Mack. Guys on offense looking around and they don't see Amari Cooper, who was taken off a practice field when he was traded to the Dallas Cowboys. Although Dallas is even more incompetent than Oakland, giving away a first-round pick to Gruden for a receiver who just has failed to live up to his potential in the NFL. Whatever was going on last night was totally unacceptable. And because this is a personal medium, not to be more narcissistic than I normally am, I got lucky, got a TV job when I was young in San Francisco and did 10 years of local radio and television. One of my assignments, because as Brad and Corona has pointed out, I've had 19 jobs this week, was being a part of the Raider pregame show. I was around Chucky part one. And the act worked then, because he was Sean McVay. He was young. It was different. He was vibrant. He commanded your attention at the podium. Well, now it's stale because it feels contrived. And if you saw the football pregame show on Fox and NFL Network last night, Thursday Night Football pregame show, the sit-down interview with Howie Long, Gruden seems like he's playing a character. Where does John Gruden end and Chucky begins? I think it's all now amorphous, because he's even out channeling Al Davis with the Raiders. And I got to tell you, you talk about a guy telling Howie Long that he's getting tons of phone calls from current players in the NFL who want to be a part of the Oakland Raiders. Well, if that's factual, and we should fact check that, that's called tampering. I don't think the league's going to actually investigate, but it speaks to now Gruden either embellishing or just being delusional. You think his cell phone was blowing up last night after that embarrassing performance? So if you're a Raider fan, I have empathy for you. I've covered games in the Black Hole. I've been booed inside the parking lot or whatever they're calling that dump now. It'll forever be known as the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. You had this team ripped away once. They came back. They're leaving again, and it's not your fault. Blame the city, fathers and mothers in Oakland, unable to get the deal done. Blame Mark Davis for not having real money. He's a billionaire on paper because he inherited the shares from his old man to be the managing general partner. I don't think he had the money to pay Khalil Mack. And Gruden now acting like he's stunned that Khalil Mack was going to hold out. Well, is he not paying any attention to what's been going on in the NFL? Everybody knew Khalil Mack was not going to show up. He was going to emulate Aaron Donald because that's how you get paid. It's the only leverage you have in the NFL. When you've outperformed the contract, you have to withhold your services. And if Davis had decided to pay Mack, he was going to have to put $75, $100 million in escrow. That's the league regulation. I don't think he has $100 million. Laying around. Plus, he's paying his supposed rock star head coach $10 million a year to win one freaking game and lose to a third string quarterback, effectively a rookie making his starting debut on a short week. So it's bad. And I don't know how it's getting better other than the cycles in the NFL. Unless we're talking about Cleveland and Buffalo to a degree, although the Bills finally broke through, made the playoffs for the first time since 1999 last year. And now they're going back to Nathan Peterman against Chicago on Sunday because they have no options. Unless we're talking about Cleveland or Buffalo, everybody gets better in the NFL. That's the entire business model. Somebody's gone from worst to first, 14 the last 15 years. Philadelphia and Jacksonville did it last year. Houston, on pace to do it this year. But the Raiders will have you believe this is all part of a process. Got to hit rock bottom before you can bounce back because they're going to have three first-round picks next year, thanks to the Amari Cooper deal. They've got boatloads of cap room. But what makes you believe that John Gruden has any conception of what he's doing? And we know what this is all about. It's the glittering future in Vegas in 2020. Well, first we got to get through 2018, and I'm not convinced they're playing in Oakland next year. And then at that point, they're just the vagabond Raiders. Maybe they play at Cal Berkeley. They probably should go to Vegas a year early, play at Sam Boyd Stadium where UNLV plays. Just leave the Bay Area because you're doing a disservice to some of the most loyal and passionate fans in all of sports. Raider Nation, unite. All right, let's get you some more tweets. Here's Beaks in Studio City. Hiring Gruden back was a sweet idea. Signed, the WWE hiring Hulk Hogan back earlier this week, brother.
What you gonna do?
All right. If I am lucky enough to fill in again during the holidays, we don't presume anything. My promise to you, the wrestling fans, and yes, I was a wrestling fan. Shocking, given my rock and roll social life in the 1980s, my effort will be to bring on a guy named Conrad Thompson, who is the best podcaster in our industry, because when I'm not listening to Jim Rome and all the great programming here on CBS Sports Radio and the radio.com app, Conrad's got it totally on lock with not only Bruce Pritchard, something to wrestle with, Eric Bischoff, 83 weeks, and the great Tony Schiavone, What Happened When. Yes, I need some hobbies. Yes, I need to get out of my one-bedroom apartment. But if you love professional wrestling from back in the day, this is a glorious time to be alive. Adam Hawk. And I'm supposed to let our good friend Carl Anderson from the WWE know we're big fans. Hey, Carl, are you hiring? Because Brad and Corona pointed out, I will do anything. I've done mixed martial arts. And I'm telling you, if I have to point out the two biggest influences in my career, Bob Costas is going to be not happy I just mentioned his name. I have nothing in common with Bob Costas other than occasionally I use a big word. But if I look back and point out the biggest influence of what I'm cobbling together as a career, the one and only Mean Gene Okerlund, don't you dare miss it. 1-800-636-8686 is the phone number. In 20 minutes, we're talking college football in advance of Alabama and LSU tomorrow night on CBS when we check in with Eric Adelson from Yahoo Sports. Straight ahead, we start the countdown to kick off for the game of the day in the NFL prior to Brady versus Rodgers in prime time. It's the Rams taking on the Saints. Which defense is going to show up on Sunday? We'll cover it all when we say hello to Steve Weich from NFL Network. I'm Brian Weber, hoping to be a modern version of Mean Gene Okerlund and for Jim Rome here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Brian Weber back with you in for Jim Rome on CBS Sports Radio. In 25 minutes, we'll wrap up the program by finishing our countdown of the three worst calls that got run this year. But first, let's bring in a man who certainly will not be run because he's one of the best in our business, my good friend Steve Weich from NFL Network. He's going to cover the big game between the Rams and the Saints on Sunday in New Orleans. Be sure to check him out every Monday on NFL Network's The Aftermath 3 Eastern. Follow him on Twitter. It's Weich89. Steve, how are you?
Webb, I'm doing great, man. Good hearing your voice. Hope all is well.
All is well, my friend. I appreciate you taking the time. All right, you're smarter than me. what is going on with the Oakland Raiders? That was a hideous performance last night on Thursday Night Football.
Well, I guess we can call it a we can say the rebuild is in full effect. The players who know that they're not going to be part of it have said, go ahead and have at it, John Gruden, because you sat there and you told us we're not good enough, we're not going to be part of it, so we're really not going to lay it all out. It really is sad, though, to see an effort like we saw last night. It didn't look like they were prepared. It didn't look like the players were into it. Look, regardless of how bad your situation is as a player, you've got to suck it up and play. But clearly, the Raiders, you know, they don't want to see their tanking. But by getting rid of talent, by just performing like that, it's over. They're probably not going to win another game this season. They might have the first overall pick next year. The interesting thing is going to be if they use that overall pick on a quarterback. The whole Derek Carr dilemma, if they finish 1-15 or 2-14, that's going to be a huge storyline heading into the offseason.
Steve, let's move to the game that you're going to be covering on Sunday in New Orleans. We know there are no perfect teams in professional sports, but do you see any real flaws on the Rams?
Boy, it's tough to say you see flaws, but, you know, teams are so good in the NFL. I mean, they're playing such a good team in the Saints. This could easily be a game where the Rams, you know, finally get into the loss column. But, I mean, offensively, what Sean McVay does, I mean, Green Bay had a fantastic plan against them last week defensively, and I mean, they really slowed down that offense. Second half, Sean McVay makes adjustments. They actually just toyed with the Packers in the second half with what they did. So, sure, I mean, Drew Brees, he's going to get some points. He's going to get some yards against this defense. But the one thing I love about the Rams is they've got playmakers who step up at the most opportune times. That's why this is going to be such a fantastic game.
Chatting with Steve Weich of NFL Network. Follow him on Twitter. It's Weich89. Steve, if the Rams win on Sunday, are you open to the possibility they could go undefeated in the regular season? They still have to play the Chiefs in a few weeks, Monday night in altitude in Mexico City.
Well, if they follow up the game with the Saints with the Seahawks, who are surging right now, sure. I mean, I guess you have to be open to it. We know the likelihood is slim, just again, because there's so many good teams in the NFL, and you're going to have a down week emotionally, but their schedule is tough. I mean, this is their toughest four-week stretch. They're in the second week of this four-week stretch. But sure, I mean, you know, I guess you have to say they could go undefeated at some point. But it's to me, this game here and next week against the Seahawks, you always play them tough. These are really going to be huge, huge challenges. You know, and then you're looking at three-week stretch before they get to Kansas City. I mean, wow, if they play emotionally at that level for four straight weeks, then that's when we have to really start thinking this is something really special.
Steve Weich, NFL Network, is our guest here on CBS Sports Radio. Since we're playing the schedule game, let's move to Sunday Night Football, and I have the Packers schedule in front of me. Beyond all the conversation about Brady and Rodgers, if the Packers lose this game, with road games coming up at Seattle and Minnesota, do you think there's a real chance Green Bay will not make the playoffs?
Yep. Yeah, there absolutely is. I mean, that needs to be the big concern. Because them winning at Foxborough, that's tough. We know that's hard. And you're starting to hear more and more conversation from people who are in the know that if the Packers don't make the playoffs, then they get clean house. Mike McCarthy and that staff could be gone. There's mounting conversation with that. And I think people are looking at the record and the schedule, and just the fact that Aaron Rodgers only getting to the Super Bowl once during this run is really kind of a shame, because he is such a special talent. So it's going to be a challenge with the Packers, and this is a good football team. But you just see where they are. They're just fortunate that their division is still kind of jumbled up, and we really might not have a true leader until we get to maybe weeks 15 or 16.
So Mike McCarthy potentially should be looking over his shoulder in Green Bay.
Yep.
Earlier in the program, I went through coaches that should win if they want to keep their jobs, and I threw out John Harbaugh's name because, as you know, Baltimore, since they beat San Francisco in the Super Bowl in New Orleans at 23, is precisely a 500 football team. So you have Baltimore and Pittsburgh renewing their rivalry on Sunday. Let's talk about the Steelers. Steve, how do you think things are going to play out with Le'Veon Bell? Is he finally going to show up this week?
That's a tough one to call. I really don't know what his thinking is at this point. For him not to be there, we know he needs to be there. I believe it's by next Tuesday to get the credit towards free agency. But I don't think anyone really knows where his head is right now. We thought maybe he'd be there after the trade deadline. And, Brian, if he does show up, I mean, how welcome will he be? I mean, Pittsburgh's starting to play some halfway decent football. I don't think they're still fully functioning yet. But Connor is playing well. We saw earlier in the season the offensive lineman coming out and openly criticizing Bell. That could be throw a monkey wrench into things. But the Steelers always have some type of drama, and you can think what you want about Mike Tomlin, whether he creates it or accepts it. He's able to handle it and to get these guys to play well starting this time of the season. So we'll see. I think that's going to be, again, maybe the biggest storyline of the season finishing out, if he shows up or if he doesn't.
Texans in Denver on Sunday. Houston started 0-3, as you know. They've gotten hot. They've won 5 consecutive games. Do you think they've become undeniably the team to beat in that division?
Yeah, undeniably in that division. Jacksonville, they're on a slippery slope. Indianapolis, they dug themselves a big hole. In Tennessee, they just can't score. So the way the Texans are playing defense, and the fact that Deshaun Watson is getting healthy, and you can start to see it, they look really good. It's just a shame that Will Fuller got hurt. Demaryius Thomas fills that role in somewhat of a different way. He's a different type of receiver. But again, they're in that division, they're absolutely the team to beat.
Taking you around the NFL with Steve Weich of NFL Network. Final thought on Carolina. Very quietly, Cam Newton is having the most efficient season of his career. We know what Norv Turner does in terms of scheme and play calling to get Christian McCaffrey more involved. Should we be including the Panthers on the list of the truly premier teams in the NFC?
Yes, we should. I mean, as long as they've got that defense together, and remember, they got Thomas Davis back a couple weeks ago, too, from suspension, so that defense is really rounding into form. But the way Cam Newton is playing, and, you know, Mike Shula was the previous OC, and he used a lot of what Norv Turner did, but now Norv Turner's there to fully apply it. Today, he coached Cam a certain way, and again, Cam seems to be having fun again. They're just playing very strong, physical football, so we better keep an eye out for Carolina as being a team that could come out of the NFC because, again, that defense is physical, that offense is physical, and Cam Newton is playing some exceptional ball right now.
Steve, you're the best. We appreciate you taking the time. Have a great time in New Orleans. I know you're professional, but you'll manage to have a balance between your work and personal life. And keep grinding at NFL Network. You're my last link to NFL AM. I need you to survive there, okay?
You got it, B-Web. Thanks for having me on.
Steve Weich, great person, a real reporter, not just a bloviator. And Steve had to put up with me 4 hours every day, 3 o'clock in the morning, local time here in Southern California, NFL AM. Although if that show doesn't exist, if we do Inception, let me spin the top, no NFL AM, no Good Morning Football. Kyle Brandt's still working here. Adam Hawk would be what? Selling Toyotas? Potentially. And he can't be bothered even to join the program. 1-800-636-8686. No, I'm good. No need for you to do anything. Actually, you're just impersonating the Raiders. No effort, no intensity. Mailing it in on a Friday. Coming up, we'll talk more NFL and college football. Will LSU, big underdogs at home, even challenge Alabama tomorrow night on CBS? Much more football conversation on the way when we check in with Eric Adelson from Yahoo Sports. But first, it's time for a sports. Tweet me during or after the program. It's B.W. Weber. A reminder about Ask the Pros questions. You can submit a question of any kind to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Let's keep the football conversation going, focusing on both the college game and the NFL with Eric Adelson from Yahoo Sports. Eric, thanks for taking the time. How are you? Have I stumped Eric Adelson?
I'm here. Hey, Brian.
Hi, Eric. How are you? That's why we
I'm here.
And then we have established that you are there. So we've overcome that barrier. Now let's get to the more serious topic in college football. Good to see Maryland coming to their senses, parting ways with DJ Durkin and based on what happened at their program. But, Eric, why do you think the school initially tried to keep him as head coach?
The bottom line is always the bottom line. I think that they wanted to avoid having to pay the buyouts. And also, I think that DJ Durkin is very charismatic, and I think he was in a lot of people's ears. And I think that he was blaming ESPN, blaming the media, and convincing everybody that it wasn't really his fault. So I think it was a combination of the practicality of the money situation, but also I think that he had a powerful voice. And other people outside that ivory tower, Brian, did not have as much of a voice with the people that mattered.
Even though he had a losing record and we're talking about a player passing away?
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a wrong decision. I mean, it was shocking when it happened. I really thought that they would fire him. I couldn't believe it when it happened. But you know what? I mean, if you read the full report, the first thing they said in his defense was, here's somebody who in his first year, he was tutored by Jim Harbaugh and Urban Meyer. And basically, I think that he sold them on being the next superb coach in college football because he had practiced at the knee of these very successful coaches. I have experience with Harbaugh, who's been successful at the top level. Urban Meyer's been successful at this level. When you read through that report, Brian, and the first thing that is said about him in his defense, other than the fact that he's a rookie, is that he has these connections. I think he really pounded that home, and I think that was ultimately what helped convince them.
Talking football with Eric Adelson from Yahoo Sports. Eric, you have a great historical perspective when you scrutinize Alabama this year. Defense just as strong as in the past. They now have a transformational quarterback in Tua. Do you think this is a historically great Alabama team we'll be talking about in 25 years?
It sure looks like it. And when you look back to 25 years, you're comparing it. I mean, the greatest teams are the 2001 Hurricanes. And then the 2013 Seminoles, I think those are at the top of the list. But Alabama's always had great players everywhere. They just haven't had this kind of quarterback. And if Tua is as good as he seems, that vaults Alabama to the highest, most elite level in history. Now, they still have to do it. I mean, Death Valley is never easy for any team. Tua really hasn't been hit in the way that most quarterbacks are through the course of the season. So if LSU is able to get into the backfield and put Tua on the ground, then we're going to learn a little bit more about him. And I think that's going to happen at some point this season, Brian, whether it's tomorrow or in the playoff. I don't think he's going to be able to skate the entire season. But when you look at who Alabama has put in the pros year after year after year at all the skill positions except for one, and now they have basically a runaway Heisman Trophy favorite. I mean, have you ever seen anything like this? This is LSU's the number three team in the nation. They're at home, and they are two touchdown underdogs. I've never seen that in my life, and it really shows you how good Alabama is.
You can see the marquee matchup showdown in the SEC tomorrow night, primetime, 8 Eastern, only on CBS. Chatting with Eric Adelson from Yahoo Sports. Eric, you're based in Florida. Do you want to make the case for Central Florida, still undefeated, and they survived that wild game against Temple last night?
Yeah, I mean, they keep winning. I do see the argument saying that they haven't played anybody. I do think that if UCF really wants to get the respect that they crave nationally, I think that they have to play probably a neutral site game or at least better Power 5 teams. I think they have Stanford on the schedule next year. You know, Brian, I know that you're very close to Stanford, but you and I might have some disagreements on that one. I think that UCF is better than people give it credit for. I just think that there's, and we saw this with Boise too, a lot of people just don't want the outsider to ruin the party. They don't want to deal with it. They want the traditional powers. They're not going to believe UCF no matter how many games they win. So I do think that they're better than people give them credit for. I think the Auburn win was not a fluke. I think winning all 21 in a row is not a fluke. But nobody's really going to believe in them nationally until they beat a team like a Stanford.
Central Florida is making the argument that a lot of people want to see happen, they believe that the current playoff field of four is too limited. So think about this year, Eric, and it's a pretty straightforward scenario. SEC could get a pair of teams back in the Final Four like last year. If Notre Dame's undefeated, they're going to be in the national semifinals. I don't think Clemson's losing. If that's the case, we have three Power Five conferences excluded from the Final Four. Do you think that could be the tipping point to have the college football playoff expanded to, at a minimum, six teams?
Well, I do think it's going to happen. I'm not in favor of it, Brian, unless they get rid of the conference championship games. I think it's ridiculous that a couple teams play 15 games a year, and now we might be talking about 16 games a year. So I am against it unless they eliminate that championship round. I'll say a couple things. One is, I think that even if they had eight, UCF wouldn't be allowed. I just think there's the electronic fence that's keeping them out. And I think that you can see it now because Florida has two losses and they're ranked by the playoff committee ahead of undefeated UCF. But I do think we're going to get to the point where if you have Alabama and Clemson again, which is, I think, the fourth year in a row, and if Ohio State makes it again, I think that there's going to be sort of this unease that you have the super elite. Three or four or five or six teams that are there every year. I think you're going to have media complaining about it. I think you have social media complaining about it. That, to me, I think will be the tipping point to go to eight. I just hope that they boot that extra round because it's a money grab, and I get it in this era. You need to do the money grab. But it's just wrong to have any team play 16 games.
Brian Weber in for Jim Rome. We're talking football with Eric Adelson from Yahoo Sports here on CBS Sports Radio. Let's move to the NFL. Packers, Patriots, Sunday Night Football. Tom Brady, the most accomplished quarterback in the history of the NFL, but I contend Aaron Rodgers is a better player. He's got a better skill set. Am I playing the semantics game there? Are you buying the distinction that Rodgers could be the best current quarterback while Brady's the greatest of all time?
I'm going to go with Brady, and I think that the argument for Rodgers is always going to be a strong one. But the thing with Rodgers is that his wizardry will come mostly out of the pocket, that he looks like that he has no play, and then he finds a window and puts it there. And I think Brady's mastery is he has this mobility within the pocket, that he can manipulate the pocket itself to serve his needs and stay as close to the middle of the field as possible, keeping all of his options open. So I actually think that, and obviously you're choosing between two amazing all-time legends, but I'm going to stick with Brady. I think his athleticism is underrated because he's not running for his life. I think when you escape the pocket, you cut down your chances. It's just that Aaron Rodgers, it's not going to matter because he's going to find his receiver. He's going to throw his receiver open. But if you give me a choice between those two, I'm still going to go with Brady because he's going to stay in the middle of the field. He's going to keep his eyes down the field. If it's something that's going to be findable, he's going to find.
Eric, let's wrap it up with the Chiefs. They have a chance to go to 8-1 on Sunday, taking on the Browns. We know it's been a chaotic week in Cleveland. Kansas City has the juggernaut of an offense. They're the prototypical team in 2018. But how much are you buying their defense? Can they stop anybody?
That's a good question. I think what they're going to have to do is I think that they're going to have to rely more on Hunt and a little bit less on Mahomes. I think as we get closer to the end of the season, it's going to be more of a running league than what we've seen in the first half. I think part of that is weather. I think just part of that is nerves. Andy Reid, in the big games, he hasn't managed the game well. And I think that part of that is because he hasn't had the true great running back recently. It's up to him. I think the defense is fine. But to me, if they get in the shootouts, that's where they're really vulnerable. And if Andy Reid's smart, I think that he's going to rely more on the running game and a little bit less on Mahomes. I think the two teams that are really probably most set up to do that are the Chiefs and the Rams, and maybe the Saints too. Brian, I think we need to be talking a little bit more about the Saints. The Saints have that running game too. They since they got Ingram back with Kamara, they might have as many weapons as the Rams. I don't want to say the Chiefs, but with Drew Brees, I would take Drew Brees over Goff or Mahomes, no matter what the hype is. So I think you throw them in too.
I'm with you. I think the Saints are going to beat the Rams on Sunday if people care about my prognostication. Eric, always a pleasure. If we're chatting on radio or TV, you know I have to throw the obligatory jab your direction. Is this the year that Andy Dalton finally wins a playoff game?
Every year is the year Andy Dalton wins a playoff game, but this year especially. He's finally getting the help he needs, and I am confident that this is the year. And if it's not, then we'll talk again next year.
Thank you, Eric.
Thanks, Brian.
Should we do the Mount Rushmore of Daltons? It's got to be Dalton from Roadhouse, right? 1, 2, 3, and 4. Pain don't hurt. I didn't put Marvin Lewis on the hot seat because it's Cincinnati. Who knows? Vontaze Burfict doesn't seem like a good dude. This just in. But the Bengals operate in mysterious fashion, and so long as Mike Brown is calling the shots, Marvin's going to have a job, and Cincinnati with a chance this year to make a playoff push. They got a lot of help from Jameis Winston on Sunday. 4 interceptions. Now it's going to be Fitzmagic, Ryan Fitzpatrick, starting for the Bucs on the road in North Carolina. Okay, let us wrap up today's gimmick, the countdown of the 3 worst calls that got run this year. We've already brought you at number 3, Chad in L.A. Number 2, Drew in Maryland. Tiffany, please. That gets us to Rex in the ABQ in April.
Rex in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Hey, Rex, how are you?
Rome, I'm great. It's the best week of the year, the Masters. I am so jacked. I almost have inflection in my voice. The players are pumped, too. Sergio and Rory already have their size medium shirts ironed and hanging up. And now we have to see the king of Euro trash, Ian Poulter, play. I don't need to see his bell-bottom pants or white belt or color-coded shoes and sunglasses and frosted tips. Give me Patrick Reed wearing an oversized hefty bag instead. Hey, clones, if you're going, take it easy on those $2 pimento cheese sandwiches. Just because you can afford to eat 10 of them doesn't mean you should. I don't want to tune in and see some clones squatting on the edge of the Hogan Bridge taking a giant curly growler into Ray's Creek.
Oh, a growler reference. No tweets from Najee Davenport? Come on, guys. The staff is on autopilot because the fill-in guy is here. As a fill-in guy, as a substitute pimp, can I do a deck of ya? What the heck? I'm living on borrowed time. That wakes me up because Brad in Corona killed me in the second hour of the program. Be sure to check out the Daily Jungle podcast for the highlights of a man being assassinated verbally on the air. Also, since I'm plugging things, my good friend Woodscopes is promoting Scott Farrell as the guest tonight. I've known Scotty since 1995 when he was working at KNBR. Farrell on the bench. Shot in the beer. And you know Scott, of course, from his great work here on CBS Sports Radio. Going to be a huge football weekend. So check out the big doubleheader in the SEC tomorrow. The winner of the game between Georgia and Kentucky will win the SEC East title. That's at 3:30 Eastern time in primetime. The game of the year, 8 Eastern. Number 1, Alabama. On the road at number 3, LSU. NFL. We've spent the majority of the program focusing on the games that matter. Should be an offensive showcase when the Rams and Saints get together. You got Rodgers versus Brady in primetime. And, of course, on CBS, the renewal of the rivalry, Pittsburgh and Baltimore Ravens trying to sweep the season series. As always, many people to thank. It's always a pleasure to sit in for Jim. So we'll start with Mr. Rome himself. Don't worry, Jim back from vacation on Monday. Thanks as well to Craig Kitchen. The entire XR4TI today. Great to work with Adam, James, Alvin, and Robert. The crew doing a marvelous job as always. Thanks to everyone who called, tweeted, emailed, killed me on the air. I'm Brian Weber. We'll talk to you down the road on CBS Sports Radio.